This morning, we are pleased to have with us a very special guest. Our guest this morning is responsible for the outreach of Convoy of Hope all throughout Europe. Now you say, what is Convoy of Hope? For some of you that may not be aware, it's the compassion arm of the Assemblies of God and the compassion partner with the Assemblies of God, World Missions, and wherever there's a need, you will find Convoy of Hope. Matter of fact, Convoy of Hope right now is ministering in the South and in the East that has been hit by the Hurricane Matthew in the last few weeks. Our teams are there, they're ministering, and not only here, but all over the globe. And so this is happening in a phenomenal way throughout Europe. And Michael McMinney is with us this morning, and I want you to make him feel real welcome. We love our missionary family at Oak Creek Assembly of God. Michael, come. Let's bless him in the name of the Lord as he comes this morning. Welcome him to Oak Creek Assembly of God.
Thank you. Thanks, Pastor. Thank you so much, Steve. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Boy, I wish my wife was here to see this. Thank you. What the pastor did not tell you was I am Irish. I was born, hey, thank you. Some of you Germans are jealous, but I'm married. So you might not be able to understand me this morning, but don't worry, just guess. It's an incredible privilege to be here, this church. I was here at this church many, many years ago for a banquet, but they never allowed me to come back because they couldn't understand a word I said, but I prayed, and 25 years later, here I am. And missionaries all over the world, there are Bible schools. There are orphanages, there are churches, there are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who will stand in front of the cross, in front of the throne one day because of your sacrifice. I love America. I think America is the greatest country in the world. Not just because 42 million Irish people live here. Did you know that 17 American presidents had Irish blood in them? Did you know that? The rest of them are your fault. America is great not because of its military might or power, but America is great because this nation has been established on the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some amongst you who are trying to rob you and your kids of that freedom. They're trying to make America something that God does not intend it to be. When America gets too big for God, America will fall. But as a non-American today, this is not just pulpit talk. Through the mist and through the storm, the star-spangled banner still flies as a testimony to people like me that America still cares. So on behalf of a world that desperately needs you and desperately needs the Lord, we say, God bless you this morning, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you so much indeed. If you do not understand what I'm saying by now, you're in serious trouble. I love Ireland. How many people would like to be Irish? I'm leaving. I want to read this morning from the book of Psalms. Say Psalms. No. Not this American accent, please. Psalms. Just think of Walmart. Psalms. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Say ashamed. Ashamed. The Holy Spirit. Say Spirit. I now pronounce you leprechauns. You look magically delicious. And the rest of you, God can help you. Psalms chapter 2, verse 8. Say 8. I love this church. You're so manipulative. Anyway, easy manipulative. Psalms 2, verse 8 says, only ask, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, and the whole world as your possession. Heavenly Father, we reach out this morning, we touch the hem of your garment. We come here, Lord God, with needs. The prodigal has not come home yet. Our bodies are still twisted and sore, Lord God, and anxiety and fear dominates us. Our marriage, it needs help. Financially, Lord God, we're struggling. And we seem not to be able to grasp what you want us to do, Lord God. And like some elusive butterfly, you remain out of our reach. Our tears have seared the carpet at the front here, Lord God, but as yet, our prayers have not been answered. And so, Father, we push through the crowd this morning. And we ask for something, however small, that we can grasp and take from you and appropriate it to ourselves and our walk with you. And we will be transformed. You've never loved us more. You can't love us less. And so we ask for your help this morning, Lord God. Touch us, we pray, in your precious name. Amen. Missions is not crossing the seas, but missions is seeing the cross. And when you see the cross, you can never, ever, ever hope to be the same again. I am honored this morning to be here. There are missionaries all over the world who would love to have an invitation to stand in front of your people, because you are known as a people with a spirit of generosity. Pastor Brooks and my good friend, the little leprechaun here, Tom Murray. Nobody in Ireland is this tall. That's two Irish people standing on each other's shoulders. He was with me in France. Your generosity is overwhelming. And in the midst of all that you're doing, in the midst of all that's happening in America today, the people of this church, the leadership of this church, have decided to take this week and intervene in what you're doing in this community and say, we care for what is happening across this world. Now, America is the greatest country in the world because America has responded to needs all across the world. But in the 35 years I've been coming here, I now sense a change. When people used to say, Yankee, go home, you didn't care. Now you care. And the whole world is in transition. America, if you do not believe it, then you're not reading the newspapers or listening to the media. And by the way, I must say this. I think America is the greatest country in the world, but television in America between 9 o'clock in the morning and 12 o'clock in the morning, 12 noon, is weird. There are no genuine, decent people on television at that time. There's a lot of weird people there. Don't watch it. Pray. Watch an Irish program. Dance. Do a river dance. Do something, but distract yourselves. In the middle of this transition, we are faced with a decision. Are we going to go back to basics and what makes America great? Are we going to listen to the mongers who, negative people, are tell us to become exclusive? Let's form a circle and sing Kumbaya and not listen to these tall, thin, good-looking Irish people. Let's not do that. Let's turn our back on the world. Let's talk about transitions. But before that, let me talk about, God said in Psalms 2, verse 8, ask. Now, I've looked at the original Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, and the original Irish. You're starting to believe me? I'm worried. You cannot confuse that verse of Scripture. If we meet certain conditions and ask, God will give us nations. Not just communities, nations. Some of us can't even reach the person next door because we don't understand who we are. Every time I get up in the morning, I go to the bathroom and I look in the mirror. Say mirror. Mirror. It's what they brought to baby Jesus. Gold, frankincense, and a mirror. Yes, I'm serious. Normal service will be resumed next week. I don't like what I see in the mirror. Look at this. You can contradict me if you want, but it's not good. But God looks at me and God goes, could you, because God loves me. And God looks at you this morning and he sees no flaws. As I said in my prayer, he'll never love you more. And this morning, every single one of us has a call of God on our life. We have been thumbprinted by God to do something special. We're not normal. Are you looking at me when you said that? We're not normal. We're extraordinary people full of the Holy Ghost. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. Let me tell you about transitions. We're going to show you some slides. Transitions are often difficult. They're sometimes delicate, but they're always defining. Some people are completely terrified of change. Some are tolerant of it, and some thrive on it. America and the world is going through the greatest change and transition that they've ever known in this generations. And we in the Church of Jesus Christ have options. We can be terrified of this. We can run away from it. We can tolerate it. Or we can say, this is what the Lord has for this generation. And we are going to do the best we can through him to transform our world for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to stand on the sidelines and say, woe is me, and be critical. We are tired of negativity in the church. Church should be full of love for each other and for our next door neighbor. And we this morning have got a chance to go with this transition, and this church can go to the next level and bring be the focal point for this community. That when everything else is changing, this church said, we stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. The pastor and the leadership of this church have an idea to reach the world. Now, you don't go to McDonald's and say, let's reach the world. This has to come from the fastness of this vision. The next slide. The fastness of this vision is that this church believes they can transform this community. And over the next 2 weeks, last week and this week, they can transform the world. 120 plus missionaries across this globe are working fervently in the center of God's will because you have sacrificed to put them there. I'm in awe. Vision like this can only come from God. When somebody says to you, we're going to win the world and our community, you say, okay, I'll get back to you. But they believe. This church believes that God has spoken to them in the midst of all the stuff. We sit here this morning with an opportunity. I was telling some young people yesterday, I live in Belgium now. I'm from Ireland, but live in Belgium. And the Belgians tolerate all this stuff. They thought if they love people, let them do whatever they want, they would just like us. A godless country, wealthy. And 7 months ago, these people who we thought loved us blew up our airport and our metro station and killed 31 people. All across Europe today, young men and women are putting on vests with explosions, seeking to transform the world. As I said to the young people yesterday, it's the cause and not the death that makes the martyr. It's the cause and not the death that makes the martyr. And we have the greatest cause in the world. 2,000 years ago on a cross, Jesus Christ died. On the third day, there was a noise and the tomb was opened. And he says, greater things shall we do. And we sit here this morning with all our idiosyncrasies, all our stuff. Yet God says, you have the greatest cause in the world. And if our cause is greater, what's stopping us going out into the highways and the byways and talking about it? You see, we are stewards. We're not owners. That's one thing you got to get in your mind. Especially in this faith promise day, we are stewards and not owners. We think we own this stuff. No, we don't. We should be more interested in influence and not affluence. Big stuff for America. We should be more worried about heavenly inheritance and not earthly investment. Tough one for America. See, God creates opportunities, but he values obedience. I'm Irish. I'm a minister to Europe. I was Catholic Irish for 28 years. And one day, I was a member of a guerrilla army for 14 years. True story. I was a trained assassin for 4.5 years. I wanted to kill everybody in the world who was not Catholic. One day, a young girl walked up to me and she says, this is my version. You're kind of cute. That's not true. I am cute, but that's not what she said. She said, you got a problem. I said, what? You need Jesus. Well, what? Middle of a war in Ireland, this girl's talking about Jesus. But there was something about her. Good looking, but there was also something about her that I was in a bomb explosion put by my own colleagues. I walked out of the bomb explosion. 80 people were mutilated, not killed, but lost their limbs. And this girl came to me into the hospital and said, you need Jesus Christ. I couldn't believe it. In the middle of a war. She brought me to a church just like this. Not as big, just like this. I didn't like it. It was full of weird people, just like you. But at the end of the meeting, her father stood up and said, Jesus died for you. And I'd seen people die. And something happened to me. The Holy Spirit cleaned me from the inside out, and I ran forward and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. My colleagues tried to assassinate me, so I fled from Ireland. My brother was killed. The good-looking girl, she liked me a lot. So I borrowed some money from her and married her. Because God gives us wisdom. Take notes. All the single men are going, it's real, okay, praise God. Revelation. We've got two beautiful daughters now. She's a psychologist. My wife is like, she's never helped me. Now we no longer talk, she just looks at me and takes notes. But the moment I accepted the Lord, I had a fervor, I try to speak English here, I had a desire to win my world for Jesus Christ. Because when God saved me, he told me that there was a heaven and there was a hell. And I learned that if you didn't go to heaven, you won't go out to hell. And I tried to win Europe to the Lord Jesus Christ. We got married. We were picked up by the American Assemblies of God because I think they have to have a token Irish person in there. Something like that anyway, it's a rule. Arkansas, Mississippi or somewhere like that. And so they, and I would preach every day of my life in the ministry. But Europe is a very difficult, Europe, the continent that gave you God, is the most difficult continent in the world. It's so expensive. I mean, the gas over here now is about $2.40. It's still $7 or $8 in Europe. $7 or $8 for a gallon of gas. I can't afford it. I just get into the car and my wife pushes me. We've got her on a fitness program. She's getting faster. And at the end of a year, after speaking 365 days, I would have a church of 25 dysfunctional people. And I said, God, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to go to Latin America. I love the way they dance and move. And did you see that? I think I'm not going to hit by there. But you see, when you say Jesus in Latin America, 1,000 people accept the Lord. That's every Tuesday. I love it. I want to go there. I want to go to Africa. You say Jesus and everybody gets healed. I don't want to stay here. My wife says to me, and my wife puts her hand up. I don't go to the Bible. It says, when my wife does this, it's over. She says, listen to you. You're called to Europe. You're called to Europe. Listen to your sermons. They're not that good, but listen to them. Vision like this that these people have, Pastor Brooks has, can only become a reality as we're willing to dream his dreams. I dreamt his dreams, and God said, Michael, you're okay, but your methods are wrong. And so based on a ministry in America called Convoy of Hope, I love America. I started Convoy of Hope Europe, and we decided to reach our continent socially, physically, and spiritually. First place we went to was a place in Albania where nobody had ever gone before. And we went to this rat-infested community. I don't like rats. We have a saying in Ireland, the heebie-jeebies. It means nothing. But when you don't like something, you go, ooh, that gives me the heebie-jeebies. When I see a rat, heebie-jeebies. Squared. And we went to this place that's fest by rats. And I went, And they were so helpless. They didn't kill these rats. And they would bite their kids, and the kids would bite. And you go, how can people be like this? Their toilets had not been cleaned for 10, 20 years. And I says, God, could we start somewhere else? Wisconsin. And God says, no, they are weird. They wear cheese on their head. I went, what? Let's go back to Albania. And so we went back to Albania. Don't go to the rat and face it. Oh, it doesn't matter with cheese. And it doesn't matter. I'm thinking of something there. But so I went back to Albania. And we started to say socially, physically, and spiritually. So I got on some rubber boots, a couple of pairs of jeans, a couple of T-shirts, several pairs of gloves, a mask I'm not wearing this morning, a hat, and all sorts of stuff. And I said, ooh. Another missionary from Michigan, Doug Weber, we got into this toilet. had me clean for 20 years. Ugh. Rats swimming around. Heebie-jeebies. A dog says, the toilet is blocked over there. I said, no, it's over your side. He said, no, it's definitely your side. I said, let's change sides. And he says, if you put your hand down that hole there, this will all go away. And I went, ah. So I went, ooh. And this rat ran up my arm. I was there. You don't. Every time I tell this story, the rat gets bigger. It was this size. Huge, it was this size. I've never seen it. Godzilla. It ran up my shoulder, around my back, and I went, oh, gee, oh, ho, 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 ho. We cleaned that place out, and I looked around. There's this little girl of six, refugee, standing there with little shorts on, and she's laughing at me. Because I've got all this protection, she's got, and I said, if she can do it, we can do it. And we cleaned out that place. There was 50 tons of garbage in one room. It's now a Sunday school room. I personally killed 47 rats in a week. It's an Irish record. Look at the Guinness Book of Records. I was going for 50, but I got tired. And now when we left that place, I said to the, I'm going to talk later on about this, the traffickers, they laugh at you. I said to them, I'm here to take back what you've stolen. And they disappear. No, I didn't kill them this time. They just leave. And now we have a community which is transformed. And a church of 150 people. And we've done that to 1.5 million people in the last 11 years. We started 52 churches. No. Started 52 churches. We finished 256 projects. We've put hundreds of people in school, fed hundreds of thousands of people, and Europe is being transformed because we're presenting the gospel and we're not compromising on it. But people, Muslims are coming to us. Half our churches are full of converted Muslims, and the women take off their burqas, let our people shampoo their hair, and because they love their kids as well. See, there's no answer to love. There's no answer to love because we, vision like this, can we become a reality as we are willing to dream his dream? Listen to this one here. What we do for ourselves dies with us. But what we do for others remains and is immortal. Think about that. We have a chance here this morning of touching not just our community, but our world. Now, I know there's some young people here. Let me be very careful about this next story. I have two daughters. They look like their mother. And their intelligence is like their mother too. I've got two grandsons. One adopted, he's my joy. He thinks I'm funny. Of course, he's only two, but he's very, very intelligent. Another one at 12. And when I was traveling, I've been traveling around Eastern Europe and working with refugees, which we'll talk about later. And the one thing that really bothers me is this trafficking women stuff. I have two daughters. It's the Holocaust of Europe. Men, I got a word for you this morning. It's going to make some of you uncomfortable. Men, we have been called to be protectors and not predators. And when men of the church get a hold of that, things are going to change in our world. And so I wanted to help these. I would go into these places in Montenegro, Macedonia, Croatia, Bosnia, Romania, and these girls would say, we're going to go to Western Europe to be a nanny. And I said, no, you're not. You're going to be trafficked. No. Yeah. But anything's better than this. And I went, what? So one day I was asked with Pastor Aaron Cole, who just has a church just up the road here from you guys, to come to Spain, to go to the city of Madrid. And there's a Scottish woman there, married to the superintendent of the Spanish Assemblies of God. That's a combination, Spanish and Scottish. I don't want to be there when they fight. They probably don't. And so she heard about these traffic women getting picked up by the police or they come into Spain. There are 55 million people in Spain, and every day 795,000 men use a prostitute. I know there's some young people here. I'll be very careful about this. And she would find out they were put into a jail for 90 days. with no change of clothes or toiletries. So we started helping them. Then she started working with them, and the people said to her, "You've got to call them. Why don't you work with these people?" And she opened up a halfway house. And I went with Aaron Cole, Pastor Aaron Cole from just up the road here, and we went to Germantown, and we went there, and we climbed up the stairs and back streets of Madrid. Walked through the door, and there's the doctors and the psychologists, phenomenal people. And there's this group of women in the corner. And they said to me, "Will you and Aaron speak to them?" We went, "No. No." I've learned something in my life, when to shut up. And I said to the Scottish woman, Fiona, I said, "Let them give their testimony." And they give their testimony to us, and I can't tell most of them, but one of the girls was from Colombia. And she was brought to Barcelona, and that's an incredible city, Barcelona. What a city for tourists. It's somewhere in the basement. They captured her, and they locked her, and they chained her to a wall. And every 20 minutes, she was woken up for you know what. Every 20 minutes for 18 months. I say this every time. Did there ever come a time in your life when you, as a Christian, when you can't take any more? You say to yourself, "This is enough." Either we as a church can transform this, or the whole thing is just a fraud. You just say to yourself, "I am not putting up with this anymore." You have this epiphany with, and you get your inertia. It's a shame to yourself. Your hypocrisy can fix you. And you reach out and you say, "This is enough." And I said, "Whatever it costs, Aaron, we're going to help these people." And she says, the girl said to me, "Will you pray for me?" And we said, "Yes." And Aaron and I went across and she stood up like this. I have a sore knee at the moment, so I'm kind of handicapped, but not like her. She turned around and broke. Both her shoulder blades were jutting out because they were broken. And we prayed for her. And I cried. I cried for somebody's daughter. We took over the 100% support of that place. My wife's on their board. And last year, 28 young girls, victims, who were not prostitutes, they were prostituted, were set free by the power of the living God with a job and everything else. You see, vision to change this world requires all of us. Every single one of you here this morning are here before time began. God chose this Sunday just for you to be here, not to listen to the ramblings of an Irish person who you don't understand. There's something about America that's starting to bother me, and I want this next slide will show you why. I am tired of a small group of people telling us what to do. I am tired of the basics of America and the foundations of America being challenged by the perversions of a small minority. This is how I put it. We cannot allow the focal minority to dominate the desired direction of the convinced majority. We cannot allow the people of Milwaukee who are against us to decide what we're going to do, where we're going to do it, and how we're going to do it. Because we have answered to one person alone, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's time to lift up the bloodstained banner of the cross. Though many other churches throw it down and say, "We're not doing anything for missions," we lift up the bloodstained banner of the cross and we walk on. Because you see, there's a value of the vision. The value of the vision. We woke up year and a half ago, and 1.6 million refugees were walking across our continent. What does this happen? Where'd they come from? We work in several refugee camps. Pastor Tom came with us to Calais, France. France, there's a refugee camp in France. Can you believe it? 2 hours in Paris, surrounded by French policemen, balaclavas. There are 9,000 refugees from all over the world. They're vulnerable. They're open. Now, people say to me all the time, "You work amongst these refugees. Do you support ISIS?" And I said, "Probably." "What? I look at 100 refugees, 50 of them are genuine, 30 of them are economic refugees, and there's a story to be told for those as well. 10 people are walking. They're just walking. There's a walk. So people, let's walk. That's 90 people. That leaves 10. Of those 10, probably 2 of them are fundamental Muslims. So when I support 100 people, am I going to give up stopping that support because of 2 people? And by the way, I used to be a pretty bad person myself. And I was saved through the power of the gospel. And maybe we're going to see these guys too. So there's 9,000 refugees in this camp. And nobody cares. You know what they do? They're trying to get into England, across the water. 18, 20 miles across the water. The only way to get to England is to jump on the truck, underneath the truck, over top of the truck, inside a car, and go illegally. Every night, they come in their thousands, trying to get across to England. And it bothered me. It really bothered me. I'm standing in this camp trying to help these people, and they're trying to get illegally into England. Be a drain on the social system, the medical system. What? Hey. And Rodney Hurst, who's spoken here, wrote something one day and it tells me, beware what you perceive as the enemy, God sees as the harvest. I went, wow. And people whose countries we can't get into in the Middle East are accepting the Lord Jesus Christ in that refugee camp. Syrians are coming, Iraqis are coming, Iranians are coming, Qatar, people all over the world, because they're vulnerable. Inside that camp was 17 mosques. Not one evangelical church. So we bought a tent. It seats 40, 50 people. And I put up the tent and built a Christian community around it. We started having service 5 times a day. And last Christmas, out of a population of 9,000 at camp, 1,400 people came to our Christmas service. The police knocked the tent down. Didn't knock the 17 mosques down. But you see, the best thing about being a Christian is being an Irish Christian. I'm not taking that from anybody. There's a cause. And 2 weeks ago, they gave us permission to put the camp, that church back up inside the camp. Tom's been in there. And God is moving by his power. Be careful what you perceive as the enemy. God sees as the harvest. If you really want to do something, you'll find a way, you know that? If you don't, you'll find an excuse. We work all over Eastern Europe, adopting these communities for 3 years, socially, physically, and spiritually. End up with a church there. We hope this church, Oak Creek, if they pray, they might be involved with us. If you don't, you'll pray for us. And we have a place in southern Bulgaria where we have a place called the Convoy of Hope Oasis Center. We distribute food. In fact, 3 of our young girls are going there tomorrow, today, on the team. Today, right this afternoon, on the team. And we also have a church there. And 15 Syrian refugees meet there every week. It's growing, but at the moment there's 15. In fact, the service will be starting in just a couple. It just started 5 minutes ago. We pray for that service in that refugee camp in Bulgaria right now, Lord God. Inclusive of that 15 people is a woman called Joan. We call her Joan because it's an understandable name. She's from Syria. And 2 years ago, a Jesus believer, a believer in Jesus, she and her husband, her mother, her brother, and her 2 kids were in a small village in Syria, all loving the Lord. And ISIS took over the city, the village. And they said, all Christians in the main square. And so Joan and her family went into the main square. And they picked out her husband. And they said, do you love Jesus? He said, yes. He said, no, you don't. She said, 15 seconds, we'll count to 15. You give him up. No. Yes. They decapitated him. They decapitated her mother. I know this is Sunday morning, isn't it? Sorry. Her mother. Her brother. There are 2 armies in ISIS. Again, I'm very aware of what's happening. There's young people here. One army is military. The other army are rapists. So they called in the second army and they pointed at Joan. Her young son threw himself across her and said, "Please don't touch her." And these people, who are the worst guerrilla army the world has ever known, and the most affluent, who have no conscience, they let her go. And she somehow made her way down with her two kids, all down Europe. And she's now in a refugee camp in Bulgaria, sitting at this moment, listening to the gospel. And her daughter and son, who are still traumatized, are the recipients of love. And that whole building was paid for by people in American Assembly of God churches. And the money we spend every month comes from America. And I stand in front of you this morning and I say, God bless you. This is not a game. This is not a game anymore. It's not a game. It's a fight for the souls of men and women. It's a fight against everything we believe is wrong. They come against us with their persuasions and their compromises and their intolerance and say, we are too intolerant. Hold back. Don't listen to that guy. Hold back. Let's win our own people. Let's concentrate on our own community. Let's stop worrying about it. It's too much. I'm overwhelmed. The pain of discipline weighs ounces, but regret weighs tons. You will die one day. I'm sorry. And you will not be resurrected as an Irish leprechaun. That's just a myth. Just a myth. There are more years behind me than there are in front of me. But I don't want to die, and my last thoughts being, will I say this? I wish I'd have loved less. Wish I'd have given less. I should never listen to that guy, Pastor Brooks. He made me do all this stuff. I shouldn't have done that. I don't think one of us will say that. I wish I'd have loved more. I wish I'd have been a better husband, better father, better grandfather. I wish I'd have cared more about the Jones of this world. Why did I become immune from faces like that? When did I stop caring? Because you see, compassion is at the center of everything that God does. I have learned one thing in the last couple of years. I've actually learned it since my wife led me to the Lord. Our last slide, kindness is a language that the deaf can hear and the blind can see. See, my wife used to say this to me, there's no answer to love. There's no answer to love. There's no answer. We tell these Muslims that God loves them, they just, we just overwhelm them with love. When my wife, not my wife then, but when she was testifying to me, no matter what I did, she returned love. In this world of negativity, sometimes we want to be, love. Kindness is language the deaf can hear and the blind can see. Can you hear them this morning? I'm not trying to manipulate you. Can you hear them this morning? The cries of the lost. Different colors, different creeds. Lost in their sickness and their sin. And here we stand in the middle of this transition. We're so much worried about what's happening in the family. No. I'm worried about what's happening today in the refugee camps and across this world. Missionaries that are supported by Oak Creek Assembly of God Church are praying especially today. You see, what we do this afternoon, this morning, determines. See, I'm known for one statement. I've been preaching for 30 years, I'm known for one statement. Your desire will determine your destiny. But this morning, now listen to me, this morning, your desire will determine their destiny. Can you hear them? Cries of the lost. In their sickness and their sin. But I want to say something. I have a message to the world today. Do not fear. It's going to be okay. Don't listen to the media moguls. Don't listen to the stuff that's written. I have a message. Through the mist and through the storm, the star-spangled banner still flies as a testimony to the world that America still cares. Before I go to the next part of this, may the Lord bless you this morning. May the Lord bless your pastoral staff. May the Lord this morning bless the United States of America. We can pray. My wife has a prayer ministry which encompasses 500,000 people. She works with 3% of the world and make the decisions for 97%. She works with world leaders, presidents, prime ministers, royalty. She stands alongside them. They make decisions. And God is moving amongst those people. And my wife has was saying about prayer. If prayer is central to our needs, why is it peripheral in our actions? If prayer is central to our needs, why is it peripheral in our actions? And this morning we can pray. You need to take some of these missionaries and pray for them. You're going to see a young couple tonight who are coming to work with me. The future's in great hands because of American young people are rallying around the flag. We're going to ask you this morning to participate in the most incredible way. It's called the Faith Promise. I first heard about this 30 years ago when I came to America. Most people in Europe have never heard about it. It's when we believe that God, over and above our tithes, and our tithes belong to the church, the Lord can use us to give money of promise to this church over the next year that we, outside our tithes, God is going to provide a sum of money to us. And he's looking for people to give it to. And you can help support the 120 plus ministries in this church. The pastor's going to come about 1 minute. It's the most important thing I believe you can do for this year. And I beg you, if it was for my sore knee, I'd lay prostrate on the ground in front of you this morning. Europeans came to give you the gospel. They didn't come to have turkey with the Indians. 40% of them died the first year. But they left behind a legacy in the ground with their blood. And the Holy Spirit nurtured that and made America the greatest country in the world. It is the greatest country in the world today. Now we desperately, in 725 million people in Europe, need your help. And through your giving this morning, and the pastor will come to explain this, you can do something to transform our world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the mist and through the storm, the star-spangled banner still flies. This morning, may the Lord bless the United States of America. God bless you as Pastor comes.